So this is the second week of a two-week series about what John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, called the general rule of discipleship. So this rule, or this process for becoming disciples and growing as a disciple, includes both works of piety, which we looked at last week, and works of mercy, which we'll be considering today. So works of piety are acts that we commit to, that we that will help us to grow closer to God, that will help us love God more and have more opportunities to receive and experience God's grace in our lives. Works of piety include, but are not limited to, worship, prayer, searching the scriptures, fasting, and participating as often as possible, Wesley would say, in the Lord's Supper. Works of piety draw us closer to God. Works of piety draw us closer to God. But according to Wesley, and I agree, works of piety do not draw us closer to God for the sake of drawing us closer to God. They draw us closer to God so that we will be more prepared and more committed to works of mercy, which help us focus on others, our neighbors. Didn't the kids do great at helping us understand who our neighbor is? I didn't say anything to them beforehand. They just know what a neighbor is, I think. So this whole process is aimed at making us better, more committed disciples of Jesus, and it leads to our sanctification. You know that word? It leads to our sanctification. It leads to righteousness. It leads to our holiness. It leads to what Wesley called Christian perfection. Christian perfection. So if we commit to works of piety in our individual lives, we'll be more prepared and more motivated to commit to works of mercy in our individual and corporate lives, and then we'll be better disciples, better followers of Jesus, more and more holy, closer and closer to perfection, and the world will be better. The world will be better. Amen? And maybe you're wondering why holiness is the goal, right? Why is holiness the goal? Well, because God calls us to be holy, doesn't He? I mean, if we read the scriptures, we find in the Old and New Testament, God calls you, He calls me, He calls us to be holy, right? Righteous, like Him. That's the goal. Peter reminds us of that in his first letter. He wrote there, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy." God calls us to holiness, and we are able to move closer and closer to holiness by our commitment to works of piety and works of mercy. Works of piety and works of mercy. I hope that this makes sense. I really do. I hope it makes sense, and I hope it encourages you to commit yourself to works of piety and works of mercy so that you will grow spiritually and the love of Jesus will flow from you into your family, into your neighborhoods, into your communities, and into our world, and the world will be better, right? Better. Holiness is a pretty good goal in the end, isn't it? God is on to something. Holiness is a good goal. And this general rule of discipleship can help us, all of us, to get there. I'm just kidding. I was going to name names, but I won't. All right, so moving on. Works of piety are aimed at our personal growth, right? You get that? Works of piety are aimed at our personal growth. Works of mercy, on the other hand, are about how we treat and support and help other people. Other people. As you can see on the screen, the works of piety, the works of mercy, the whole general rule of discipleship is illustrated by this Jerusalem cross. But this week you can see that the works of mercy are illustrated. They are both personal acts and public acts, and they're both compassion, acts of compassion and acts of justice. So works of mercy. In his sermon entitled The Scripture Way of Salvation. Wesley explained works of mercy. You'll have to forgive him. He's old, and he speaks that way sometimes. So he says, works of mercy relate to the bodies or souls of men, and I will add women, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, entertaining the stranger, visiting those that are in prison or sick or variously afflicted, such as the endeavoring to instruct the ignorant. Anybody doing that? You think you are, don't? Yeah, all right. To awaken the stupid sinner, he said. To quicken the lukewarm, to confirm the wavering, to comfort the feeble-minded, to aid the tempted, or contribute in any manner to the saving of souls from death. Wesley was basically saying, which Wesley was not good at doing, he was not good at basically saying anything, but I think he was basically saying that we should be good to all people. We should be good to all people. That we should care about the well-being of all people. And if you want to know who those are, ask the kids that were up here. Say, am I supposed to love so-and-so? They'll be like, yes. Are they a person? Yes. So that's what Wesley was saying. That we should see to it that other people are treated fairly. And that other people are treated equally. That we should feed the hungry and clothe the naked and visit the sick and those who are in prison. Wesley was saying we should love them. Right? He didn't have to go into all that stuff. He could have said, love them, right? That we should love others. It's that simple. It is that basic. And that is the premise of what works of mercy are. They are ways to love others. And they lead to our own holiness. See how the process works? The struggle for me in all of this, though, is that I don't like everyone else all the time. I don't like everyone all the time. I get irritated with people. I disagree with people. And I get that I irritate people too. But we're talking about me for a minute. I get irritated with people. I disagree with people's viewpoints on things. I don't see eye to eye with people sometimes. I just don't like some people sometimes. So sometimes when I think of this road to holiness through the works of mercy, which require me to love others, it's hard for me to believe that I can make it there, right? It's hard for me to believe I can make it there. It feels like an impossible goal. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel that way when you think of loving others, especially when you know that even children know that means all others? Do you ever get frustrated by the fact that as a follower of Jesus, you are called to love all others, and yet you can't even get to the place where you like those others? Is that frustrating to you? Is that ever a struggle for you, this contrast between liking and loving, this idea of being intentional about showing mercy even to people that you aren't too fond of for whatever reason? Listen, if Wesley was right, and I believe that he was most of the time, definitely this of the time, this struggle must be dealt with if we are going to have any success in our quest for holiness, for Christian perfection. If we're going to be the best disciples that we can be, we have to learn to love even the people we don't like. Can I get an amen? We have to learn to be compassionate even towards those we might not think deserve our compassion. We have to fight for justice for all people, even if we don't like them or what they do or what they're about, or we don't like their actions or their belief system. These are the marks of a true disciple, and they all require that we learn to love our neighbor, to actively love our neighbor. And please see Savannah, Charlie, and Norman for more information about what that means. All of this is why Jesus, when asked that question that we started talking about last week, teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? This is why Jesus answered with, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He answered that way first because that is the greatest commandment, right? That's the greatest commandment, and it comes first because it prepares us for what Jesus said was the second greatest commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then, I love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? Then, to really make the religious leaders think about what he said, and us, mind you, he went on and finished his answer by saying, on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor, right? Love God, love your neighbor. I read that and I hear Jesus saying, if you do these two things, if you love God with your heart, mind, and soul, and if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you will be holy. You will be holy, right? You will have done well. You will be sanctified. You will be perfect in love. I want that. I hope you want that. But I want that. I want Jesus to look at me one day and have all of the ways that I loved people in mind and say, Jim, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want that. I want to experience sanctification. Don't you? Don't you want that? And Jesus tells us how easy it is. Love God, love neighbor. But Scripture says that requires this holiness, this perfection, this sanctification requires that I love my neighbor like I love myself. And I don't like my neighbor as much as I like myself sometimes, right? So how am I supposed to love my neighbor as much as I love myself sometimes? You see the struggle? Do you share the struggle? Here's the thing, though, that I'm starting to kind of understand about this. This love that motivates us to have mercy on people is not about like. It has nothing to do with like, right? This love is not about like. It's not about agreement. It's not about seeing eye to eye or any of that. This love is simply about acts of compassion and acts of justice motivated by who we are in Christ. That's it, right? Do you see that? It's acts of justice and acts of compassion motivated by who we are because Jesus is our Savior. It's just about being who Jesus calls us to be and treating others the way he treated others and the way that he commands us to treat others. Listen, all others. If you have somebody in your mind that you think that this doesn't include, it does include them. All others. Just like Jesus did when he went to the cross and died for you and all others. And this love that Jesus commands us to show our neighbor is not about emotions either, right? It's not about emotions either. It's about action. It must be about action because Jesus tells us we have to have it. We cannot be commanded to feel a certain way, right? Like, I can't command you to be happy that this is going to be a long sermon. It's not, probably. We cannot be commanded to feel a certain way, though. We cannot be told to have a feeling for other people, not even the feeling of love. And so this love that Jesus commands us to have for our neighbor must not be about a feeling. It must not be about a feeling, but rather an action. Or according to Wesley in the Works of Mercy, many actions, right? Acts of compassion and acts of justice, acts that show our love for others, that show them that we love them because of who we are in Christ. And this love, listen, if you've dozed off, come back to me for a moment. Also, this love, hard as it is going to be for some of us to comprehend, is not about right politics. It's not about right politics. And I don't mean right as in directional. It's not about right or left politics. It's not about correct politics. It's not even about correct theology. It's not even about correct theology. It's not about making sure you tell everyone what they're doing right or tell everyone about what they're doing wrong. It's not about homosexuality is a sin or homosexuality is not a sin. It's not about judging others, and it's not about being the morality police for the world. It's not about any of that. Jesus said all the law and all the prophets rest not on right politics or right theology or what's a sin and what isn't, but rather on whether or not you love God with your heart, soul, and mind and love your neighbor just as much and just as powerfully as you love yourself. Thanks for staying. We worry so much about what everyone else is doing and how they are believing and who they voted for and all of that stuff. And in the midst of all of that worry, we totally miss what Jesus says is the second greatest commandment in all of the scriptures. Love your neighbor. Again, Savannah, Charlie, and Norman can help you know who that is. It's everyone. And we are called to love them just like we love ourselves. Love the ones who voted differently than you. Love the ones that voted differently than you. No matter what side you're on, love the ones that voted differently than you. Love the ones who believe in a different God than you believe in. Love those who believe in no God at all. Love those who are black. Love those who are white. Love those who are red. Love those who are yellow. Love those who are gay. Love those who are straight. Love those who love you. And love those who don't love you. Love your neighbor. Right? Love your neighbor. That is all he said. And that is so simple, isn't it? It's so simple. Love your neighbor. All the law and all the prophets rest on that. What if we did? What if we did? What if we set aside all the other stuff that we muddy the water of discipleship with and took Jesus at his word? We do say we love him, right? We do say we trust him. So what if we actually listened to him, right? And loved our neighbor as we love ourselves? What if we did that by committing to acts of compassion and acts of justice? What if we sought out, actually looked for ways to love others instead of just sitting on a comfortable pew and saying that we do? What if, right? What if we let loose of the things that we don't like about them? What if we stopped thinking we have to like them in order to love them? And what if we obeyed Jesus? What if we obeyed Jesus? What if we obeyed this super simple, easy to understand, second most important commandment that he ever asked you and me to follow? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Our country could sure use some of this love, couldn't it? And I'm not suggesting, please hear this, I'm not suggesting that you sit there and think of all the people who you disagree with politically or theologically and wish they would love like this. That is not what I am doing. What I'm suggesting is that you think of all the people, including those you disagree with politically or theologically, and love them like this. Love them like this, right? You show them mercy. You be compassionate towards them. You seek justice for them. That is what loving neighbor as you love yourself looks like. What if we committed to it? What if we committed to it? What if we, you and I, decided to do what Jesus commands us to do and actually learned to and committed to love our neighbor, all of them? All of them. One thing is sure, our country and our world would be better. Can we agree on that? Our country and our world would be better. And please don't go back to that thing where you're going, if the other people that believe differently than me would believe like me, our world would be better. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if the church would love all people like they love themselves, the world would be better, right? There would be a whole lot less hate out there and in here. There would be a whole lot less racism in both places, a whole lot less discrimination, a whole lot less judgment, a whole lot less nastiness and meanness and bullying and fighting. And I am positive that the church, the body of Christ, Christians, followers of Jesus, would stop looking so high and mighty and holier than thou and start looking more like Jesus to the people out there who don't know him yet. And it all comes from loving our neighbor, right? So my prayer this morning for us, for you and for me, is that we will first take a moment or two. Just stop and take a moment or two to imagine a world like that, right? Not a world where everybody believes like you, but a world where everybody loves like Jesus, right? Imagine a world like that, a world where the church loves others, all others, the way that Jesus loves them and the way Jesus commands us to love them. And second, I pray that we will do something, right? Don't just sit in a pew and say you love them, because that's not loving them, right? Love is an action. So my prayer is that we will do something, that we will commit to works of mercy, that we will be about the business of showing compassion to our neighbors and seeking justice for all people everywhere. And I pray that we will all know that it is through those acts that holiness comes. It's through those acts that we are made holy through Christ. So I pray that we will all want that. That we'll want it, that we'll strive for it by the way we love our neighbors, every single one of them.